are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, the mistakes that new wives make. I paused just for drama. You know you like drama. And also, giant dinosaurs are going to eat your popcorn this weekend at the drive-in theater. Those stories and a whole lot more. Let's meet the friends. Aaron Myers has the day off. And your texting habits are under scrutiny. Please welcome Ms. California USA, Sandy Charles.
That's right. Did you know using emojis could land you in jail?
No, in jail.
In jail.
In jail. All right. And you're at least 15 years old. That's why your mom and dad said it's okay to listen to this program and to gaze into the eyes of Chris Martin.
At 15 years old, the most important thing I discovered was how to forge my parents' signature so I could get out of class. But wait until you hear what this young man found.
All right, that's all coming up. If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. And also, whenever possible, please and thank you, subscribe to this program so that you're never without us. We want you to be around all the time. Hi, I'm Phil. How are you? Nice to see you. And Sandy Charles, it's so great to see you. By the way, I was so impressed to see your Facebook post that there is, in fact, now a Barbie made after you.
That is correct. Yeah, it's probably my favorite thing that I own right now.
Well, that is so iconic. Isn't that weird? I mean, it's like usually that's reserved for a Disney princess.
I guess I'm a Disney princess. I'm a queen.
You're a queen.
They call me a queen. I don't call myself that.
All right,
that.
So if I go to Toys R Us and I want to buy a Sandy Charles Barbie, can I do that?
No, but you can. Maybe we should demand that.
You can't?
No.
Well, how many? There's just one for you?
Just one. Mm-hmm.
And then they broke the mold, just like they did when they made you.
Oh, look at you. See? There was more to talk about, but well, how can I follow that?
Yeah,
yeah, I noticed that it was interesting that Mattel didn't even have to change the Barbie facial features or body structure or hair or anything. It was may as well just call it Sandy instead of Barbie.
I was hoping to drum up demand, but maybe you're doing that for me, Chris, because it's really something else. I need to go back to your Facebook and then pull that photo and give it to the web munchkins so they could put it on our show fun page and people can check it out if they haven't seen it.
Yeah, they can see it.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That is darn awesome. So you said something about jail and emojis in the same sentence, and it makes absolutely no sense. So explain yourself, young lady.
Okay, there are two men in South Carolina, and they were arrested for over Facebook sending emojis, threatening emojis. I guess it was a fist, like a pound, like I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah.
And they were arrested.
No, that's impossible.
It happened.
No words at all?
No, there were no words, no letters. Nothing.
Where did this happen?
South Carolina.
And so it's my hope, because this is a logical and reasonable world, that when they show up and somebody reads the charges to the judge looks at the prosecution, laughs, and says, dismissed. And then he asks the prosecution to approach the bench.
Right.
Yes. So that he could say, are you kidding me?
Why are you wasting my time? Why are you wasting the court's time and taxpayers' money?
Right.
I really feel like there's got to be more to this. There was really only just the fist punch emoji, and that was enough.
It was a fist punch and then like an ambulance, like we're going to beat you up and put you in an ambulance.
So maybe.
That's just a creative use of emojis is all it is.
See, what happens is these people that threatened him verbally prior to this Facebook message. Then they send the Facebook message, and whoever was being threatened said, I better report this because I'm pretty sure these guys are serious.
You know what's next? Because remember when iPhone came out with the new line of emojis and they had the various ethnicities?
Yeah, multicultural emojis.
There's going to be hate crime emoji texts.
Yes.
People are going to be arrested for hate crimes.
This is going to start a terrible precedent
really
if that judge doesn't throw it right out of the courtroom.
So, So you put the picture of somebody's face and then like the little steaming poo pile emoji. They have that, right? And then the ambulance and whatever else. And I don't know. You just got to be careful.
You really do. And that's the thing.
What if they were just keyboard mashing?
Right. Well, now they're in jail, and
I think they have a pretty good case.
I think so too.
Frankly, unless they have a bunch of priors.
Right. It didn't say.
They handed it over at a bank to a teller, a printed out bunch of emojis that said, "Hand over the cash."
if the case does get thrown out, they're going to beat that guy up even harder. Is what's going to happen.
Yes, yeah. Right.
You know, right?
That's a scary thing.
Really
increase the font size so the emojis are twice as large, right? Yeah, can you do that? I don't know. All right, fine. There's another lady who's in hot water, and hot is the operative word here, and she may win Mom of the Week award.
Oh, definitely. A woman, she left her kids in a hot car while turning herself into police, get this, for leaving her kids in a hot car.
What?
So she goes to turn herself in, but does the same thing that she's turning herself in for?
So it's not the second time she's left her kids in a hot car,
no.
Is it? It's something that she does routinely.
Yeah. And then that didn't work. So now she wants to get out of being a parent a whole nother way, which is getting them taken away by Child Protective Services. She's like, well, they lived through the hot car issue that I left them in six times. Maybe I'll just go this route.
Very insightful.
I guess, and this is why when I was reading, the husband was at work, and childcare is too expensive. Mm-hmm. So that was her option, and that's what she's been doing. My mind doesn't grasp any of it.
Yeah.
But
right.
I mean, she's 25 years old, and she's in Virginia, and now she's in jail.
Mm-hmm. All right. Perhaps that should have happened before she started pushing out puppies, huh?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that what they call it these days? That's what the kids call it? All right.
Sure.
Now, perhaps you've heard about the two ladies going at each other, fighting. Was it in a Walmart, Chris? Was that the story?
Yeah, that's the story that the news keeps showing us day in and day out for the last week.
Sandy, you may have found the fight. To unseat that is the fight we're most interested in for the moment.
Yes. How amazing is this? Actually, the little girl in me is quite sad, but Minnie Mouse and Hello Kitty brawl in Times Square.
Yes. Yep,
that'll do it.
Uh-huh.
Over a tip. Mm-hmm. So they posed with some man, and the man only handed Hello Kitty the tip.
Yeah.
And Minnie Mouse didn't trust that she would divide it properly or whatever and started fighting.
They need to get a claymation death match between those two going. Remember that show on MTV? What was that called? Something
Celebrity Death Match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but why do the claymation when you have the real live costumed Minnie Mouse and Hello Kitty duking it out?
That, because in the actual, you know, if they did the actual death match, then somebody would die and the other would be disfigured and dismembered.
Yeah.
Like every one of those episodes.
Hey, Sandy, who wins? My money's on Minnie.
No, nobody won. The police broke it up. But here's my thought. What's a tip mostly with a picture? It's maybe $3-$5.
Yeah.
So honestly, at the end of the day, she was fighting for what, $2.50?
$2? Well, no, she was fighting for principle.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the principle of the whole thing, isn't it?
Minnie Mouse is obviously more popular than Hello Kitty.
Your money's on Minnie Mouse?
60% take.
Wait a minute. Mouse, cat? Who wins in that fight?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, but Hello Kitty, that looks like a pretty docile cat.
Oh, it's a head fake. That's all that is.
Minnie looks like she'd get down. She's got that big head.
True,
and she's
got those stiletto heels on, too.
Stiletto heels, big mitts.
Yeah, those giant white gloves with three fingers.
Sure. Hello Kitty's just like pink and purring.
I'm trying to find a picture of it.
Oh, please. Yes, we need a picture.
I want to see video.
I think I know.
All right, this is because we need to help unseat that Walmart fight. All right, so when I was 15 years old, I'm trying to think, what did I discover when I was 15? Pubic hair, probably, was one of them.
Okay.
Oh,
one of the things. What else did I discover? That that it hurts when you ride your skateboard down a hill too fast and you hit a rock? Let's see. Things like that.
Yeah, what basically.
Basic things you discover.
Dirty
when you're
magazines.
15. Yeah, right.
No.
Sure.
Yeah, 15. Sure.
Guys.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You figure out new ways to torture your friends, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, new pranks. You stick their hand in warm water. That's about the time you discover that one.
You know, you're just gross when you're 15. Zit-popping contests, all those kind of things that you do when you're 15,
mm-hmm.
right?
What grade are you in when you're 15?
Yeah, like eighth grade or so,
eighth or ninth.
Yeah. Yeah, so
no.
Ninth grade?
Tenth.
10th grade?
Yeah, you're out of high school by the time you're 17 or 18, right? So,
well, yeah, I guess that's right. I think I was driving in the 10th grade, so I was 16 in the 10th. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
All right. So 9th or 10th grade?
Yeah.
So you're in high school. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so what most of us discover are some pretty minute things. But check out this kid. This inspiration for interns all over the world to work hard and make your mark. 15-year-old Tom Wag was undertaking work experience at the University of England when he discovered a planet.
A planet?
Yes, a planet.
In our solar system?
No, not in our solar system. This one was 1,000 light years away and invisible to the naked eye.
And he just discovered it.
Well, what he was doing is he was logging data collected by the university's planet search program, and he noticed a tiny dip in the light spectrum of a star far, far away. And then after much research post that discovery, the professors there did verify that it is, in fact, a planet, the 147th discovered by that school alone. And for now, they name it WASP-142B. But maybe
WASP, that's WASP.
WASP, that's their program.
Oh, okay. But maybe at some point he'll get to name it after himself.
Right. It'll be the WAG planet.
Yeah, or just call it WAG.
It's where all the WAGers come from.
Planet WAG.
By the way, since 1995, 5,000 planets have been discovered in the universe.
Yeah, and
planets that have potential for life.
But at the moment, we have to just assume that none of them have intelligent life on them.
If you want to, I assume that many of them do.
Yeah.
We can assume there's aliens over there,
It seems ridiculous and also self-centered and narcissistic to think that of all these potentialities of rock circling stars. That we're the only one that was able to sprout a tree?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
And do you think that the other civilizations out there, for whatever level of civilization they have, do you think they are similar in genetic makeup? Do you think that
similar in genetic makeup? Yes, yeah, some form of humanoid, but I think far more advanced than we are. I think that we're probably the lowest common denominator of life form of things that have developed.
Why would you say that?
I just have a feeling.
Yeah,
you know,
that we're the dumbasses.
Well, no, we're not. We're just catching up. We're catching up to the more advanced.
So we're a millennium away from being able to do the things that they can do.
Right. Yes. That's my theory.
Yeah.
That's my theory. Wait, but who knows?
Correct me if I'm wrong. The key difference is oxygen, right? And for needing for trees and plants and humans
sure.
or anyone, do we think there's oxygen?
Hydrogen, oxygen.
That's how we can't go to other Mars or anywhere.
And carbon.
Breathe.
Carbon.
We're all carbon based.
Those are the three.
But can trees or any other life source survive without oxygen? They can't.
Well, see,
not that we know of.
In your simple, Earth. Brain.
Yeah.
That's you're thinking in those terms. You're not thinking in terms of those more advanced lives.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. They're looking at you right now. Tree. That's so 2,000 years ago. All right. Up next, how in the world can you improve upon sausage? We'll explain it here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Welcome back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. The number of women who hurt themselves wearing high heels almost doubled in the U.S. from 2002 to 2012. There were 123,355 total ER visits because of high heels. 80% of them were ankle sprains or foot injuries. Have you ever hurt yourself, Sandy, wearing high heels?
No,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You've hurt yourself?
I'm just kidding.
No, actually, I never hurt myself. But last year when I was competing for Miss California, we had rehearsal from 8 in the morning until about when you go on stage, which is 7 at night. My toes were numb for 3 weeks after, probably 3 weeks to a month. My big toe and my second toe. So they were really, really numb. So I've never been hurt, but from being in high heels for that long, I guess I hurt all the nerves.
It does seem like the most dangerous part of high heels is not necessarily the fact that your ankle is raised 4 inches off the ground on a golf tee, yeah. but that your toes are literally smashed together into 2-inch square space,
yeah.
all smashed on top of each other for hours on end.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. true. So you get toe mash.
But the higher, the better.
Yeah. Toe mash.
I agree.
You ever order that for breakfast? Toe mash?
Ew.
Yeah. But now there's a new kind of sausage. There's a 37-year-old guy. His name is Liam. He lives in Garnant, Wales. Okay? Had a great idea. He just created the newest unholy food hybrid, the, as he calls it, the dosage. It combines a donut and a sausage.
Ha, I've combined a donut and a sausage before.
But this isn't what you're thinking, Chris. See, he took sausages and filled them with jam, like a jelly donut. So they're not round. There's no fried dough involved. There's no powdered sugar, no glaze, no deep frying. He got 6 flavors so far. Pork with strawberry jam, pork and beef with custard, pork with leek and blackcurrant jam, chicken and raspberry jam, venison and strawberry custard, and veggie sausage with primrose.
Yeah.
Liam says,
"Oh, there's always a bit of wariness to begin with."
That's kind of how he sounds. But he continues to say, but most people who have tried it, they love it.
Mm-mm.
He's hitting some food festivals this summer, and he's launching a campaign on Kickstarter next month to raise money to put them into production. I don't know about you, but I'm trying it. I'm telling you, you put jelly on stuff and magic happens. I may have mentioned on the show before that a mustard and jelly sandwich is spectacularly delicious.
Gross.
You say that, but you don't know because you haven't tried it. It may be the most delightful thing you've ever tasted. How would you know if you don't try it?
What kind of jelly do you normally put?
Grape.
Okay.
And just standard yellow mustard. Nothing not the fancy mustards, you know, with the seeds in them and all that kind of stuff. Just a standard yellow mustard and grape jelly on white.
No protein
white
or
bread.
Anything?
No, I mean, come on, it's not your full meal. I mean, this is just,
it's just a little snack.
It's just something to eat that is delicious. I don't know about you. I'm not thinking about all the health characteristics of my meal. Do you do that? Do you stress over all that stuff? You do?
Yes. I don't stress over it, but I'm conscious of it.
You know, my wife is a wonderful cook. She's chefy. Mm-hmm. She's not a chef, but she's chefy, let's say. She could cook anything. She tastes something and knows what's in it, and she can recreate it the next day. It's just one of those chefy things that you have. I don't have that. I don't know what I'm eating. You have to suggest. Oh, that's pork. Oh, great. Good. Thanks for saying, because I was kind of guessing it was maybe chicken. But no, it's pork. Okay, now I know what to think. But and I can't separate the different flavors. What I know is it tastes good or it tastes bad. And when it tastes good, I'm happy, and I continue to eat it. I mean, that's more or less my litmus test for food. If it tastes good, I eat it, and I try to eat in moderation. Now, that's where the health consciousness comes in for me, and I'm aware that there are different food groups and all of that. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, I don't sit down to a plate of donuts and go nuts every day.
Not every day, but once in a while. You got to let loose.
Of course.
Like, Sandy's still shaking her head. Sandy, you've never just hunkered down and taken out like a half an ice cream cake?
Hunker.
Nope. If I am still craving something after a meal, I'll have a little piece of chocolate.
Oh.
Chocolate. Yeah, chocolate's essential.
To put some love in your heart.
Yeah.
There you go.
A
little caffeine.
Yes.
I would try a jelly-filled sausage, though.
No.
Of course.
I'd give it a try.
Of course. Did you see all those flavors?
No.
That guy's thinking.
Hard for me to imagine you beating a sausage with cheese in it. I mean, it seems like we've already reached the pinnacle of that combination.
Yeah, that is pretty
good.
Do
they make a sausage the same way they make a hot dog, where it's just everything disgusting ground up? And put
no, it's a little more. There's a little more thought into it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They grind up some of the better things. So you ever have a lemonade stand? Did you ever do one?
Never did.
Yeah, I did one once, but I don't think I marketed it very well. I think I made a couple of cents. But kids are still doing lemonade stands, aren't they, Chris?
Well, they're trying, Phil. They're trying. But they're not always succeeding. Check out this. Two little sisters, Andrea, who was 8, and Zoe, who was 7, set up a lemonade stand to raise money for a Father's Day gift. How sweet, right?
That's Father's Day.
On Sunday. Just a reminder to all everybody out there. They were selling lemonade for 50 cents, kettle corn for $1. When police showed up and asked to see their permit.
Oh.
I can't even take that serious.
Yeah, but it's so true. They didn't have. So then the police sent them to the city to go get a permit. They waived the fee, right? It's $150 to go get a permit. So they said, look, we'll waive the fee, but you need to go get a permit from the city. The city told them they need to get clearance from the health department. So they sent them over to the health department. Anybody who's ever tried to get a permit to build a house or anything can relate to this.
Yeah, good luck.
The health department sent them over to the zoning commission.
No.
So the kids gave up and went back home, and they didn't get to get their father a gift for Father's Day. So I hope you feel good about yourselves.
Yeah.
Where was this again?
This was in Texas. According to Texas law, the sale of food requires temperature control to prevent spoiling and bacteria, which the girls did not have.
I want to be on that jury when they come up for against charges.
It's lemonade. It's water and sugar
they
stuff.
They were selling kettle corn also. Though it's hard to imagine that, you know, experiencing bacteria.
You got
to
get more creative these days, speaking of jury, to get out of jury duty, don't you?
You really do. You have to be smart like this man in Vermont. A guy, he was dismissed from jury duty on Tuesday because he showed up in a black and white striped prisoner costume.
Well.
The judge said he could have been found in contempt, but there was nothing in the rules that banned him from wearing it.
You can wear prison costumes. Look, wasn't there a big uproar about high school kids showing up in orange jumpsuits because they were emulating Orange is the New Black or whatever it was. What's the TV show?
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
OINTB is what we call it.
Yeah, exactly. And parents were all up in arms because their kids were showing up in prison garb.
I mean, it's...
But there's nothing against the law or against the rules. And it wasn't in the school dress code.
Exactly. Just like it wasn't in... It's not anywhere said that you can't wear black and white striped. So it's you great. Did nothing wrong.
Yeah. Love the old school approach, too, of like that... You know... Oh, I was thinking of a movie reference. But you don't see black and white jumpsuits anymore.
How about a chain with one of those black bars?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. But he could have lied and made up a lie. Or like everyone else, you know, lie. Oh, true. I know a juror or someone like that. But he just got creative.
Hey, the movie box office will be eaten alive this weekend by one colossal movie. Manny the Movie Guy, who just won an awesome award, joins us live next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Okay, it's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex this weekend. Joining us live is the man who doesn't care that those movie dinosaurs were actually from the Cretaceous era, not the Jurassic era. Besides, he sees plenty of evidence of ancient life daily in Palm Springs, where he works as the movie reviewer at KMIR-TV. It's Manny, the movie guy. Manny!
That's right. It's quite prehistoric down here.
Yes, it is. And I understand congratulations are in order.
Oh. Why?
Did you win some kind of Critics' Choice excellence thing?
I'm a member of the Critics' Choice, of course, the Broadcast Film Critics Association. And,
yes.
Not yet. I haven't won a Critics' Choice Award yet.
Were you nominated or something for excellence?
I was nominated for an Emmy this year.
Oh.
So
I got this information from, people tell me stuff and they get it wrong.
But thank you. Maybe you're the voice of an angel.
Well, speaking of that, want to sing with me? Ready? There are dinosaurs in Jurassic World, and if you don't run, they will eat you whole.
That's one of the most iconic things, of course, in Jurassic Park.
And that's the only movie playing this weekend, isn't it?
It's the only big movie, literally, playing in the theaters this weekend. That's right. And you know what? You know, I was a fan of the original Jurassic Park, weren't you?
Well, yeah, that was Jurassic Park, 1993.
22 years ago.
Yeah.
So I was nervous and excited to see Jurassic World, but I can tell you now, I left the theater satisfied.
Satisfied?
Yes. We all loved the first Jurassic Park. Steven Spielberg revolutionized CGI filmmaking and made us feel the intensity of seeing seemingly living, breathing dinosaurs. Now, 22 years later, Isla Nublar now has a fully functioning dinosaur theme park, so welcome to Jurassic World.
I love that because I was wondering about so much technology has been invented between then and now, and the CGI is just out of this world in movies, isn't it?
Right. No, it is fantastic. The cinematography, honestly, watch it on regular movies. I saw it on 3D, and I had some problems with the cinematography of the 3D.
Oh,
right. But in the movie, though, our friend Bryce Dallas Howard, who plays a headstrong park manager, said, every time we build a new attraction, attendance has spiked. And that's right. Just like the movies that followed the first, namely The Lost World, Jurassic Park 3, and now Jurassic World, the filmmakers must give us something fresh and new to get us back into the theater.
So this is
almost like a meta analyzation of Hollywood.
Hey, was this shot on that big ranch in Oahu in Hawaii again?
Yes.
It was. The same place where you can go over there and you can see the they've poured concrete inside of some of the dinosaur footprints, and you could see them. And
right.
You could ride around in those quad runners or whatever they are.
Right. You know what? Just like the first movie, though, this one is, you know, it imitates the first movie almost to a T. There's the predictable kids in danger roles.
Yeah.
There's the predictable Bryce Dallas Howard is the headstrong park manager who has no time for anything but making profit, rejecting the romantic advances of the resident dinosaur whisperer named Owen, played by Chris Pratt, in full Indiana Jones mode. But here's the deal.
Yeah.
They actually honored and paid homage to the original, and I actually kind of love that. And Spielberg, now acting as one of the executive producers, has his thumbprints all over the cinematic map.
Nice.
There's a dinosaur that sort of looks like E.T.
I was wondering about that.
in the zoo, the dinosaur zoo, you know, there's an homage to Jaws and,
awesome.
Of course, Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Does somebody drive by in a blue Dodge Dart?
Yes.
Yeah, was that the car Dennis Weaver was driving in Duel? It was a Dodge Dart, wasn't
Very
it?
Very good. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, this time, though, the director is Colin Trevorrow, fresh from the success of his excellent, excellent independent film called Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yeah.
He knows how to deliver the thrills and thrills you'll get, especially in the last act of the film. Now, the bottom line, Jurassic World is a well-made action movie, even though the screenplay lacks bite.
Yeah.
And the film underused its talented cast. But this one will make tons of money at the box office, so guess what?
Right.
More genetically hybrid dinosaurs are coming your
way. Can't wait. Hey, speaking of money, did you hear that Disney might lose $140 million on Tomorrowland?
Yeah, well...
Yeah. You didn't like it, did you?
Just half-heartedly.
Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, so we're thinking about some of their stinkers, Lone Ranger, John Carter.
It's right up there.
But they don't have to worry about it because they have all the Marvel movies and Star Wars.
And next week they have Pixar's Inside Out, and it's a fantastic film. Hint, hint. Wink, wink.
Good. We'll talk more about it next week. All right, so a couple other things that are out there that I don't even know anything about them. What is Me and Earl?
Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. Oh, I love, love, love that movie. Let me direct your attention to this film. It won the 2015 Sundance Grand Jury Prize and the Audience Award. So I have a sneaky feeling that we'll see this film come award season. This one is an affecting story about Greg Gaines, played by Thomas Mann. He was in Project X, Beautiful Creatures, and Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, among others. He plays a shy, awkward high school senior until he starts spending time with Rachel, played by Olivia Cooke. They haven't spoken to each other since kindergarten, but their relationship is tested by one thing. Cancer.
Oh.
I enjoyed this film. It reminds me so much of The Fault in Our Stars, and I love that movie. The two leads have an affecting chemistry, buoyed by a smart and not melodramatic script. So go watch Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. And this one is the one I was telling you earlier that received the Critics' Choice of Excellence Award.
Critics' Choice of Excellence Award. Are you sure you didn't win an award?
Not yet.
Okay.
I will soon. Give me time.
Right. Yeah. I'm confident you will. My money's on you.
Well, thank you.
MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Go visit his website and look at some of his insanely entertaining interviews that he does with the celebrities. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you so much. So have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Wow, that was fun. You going to see the dinosaur movie?
Not on the first day.
No, probably not.
Sometime after that. I watched Spy this last weekend, and I'll be watching Entourage this weekend.
Oh, so you're catching up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I try to see a movie every now and then.
Some of those movies are in my Netflix queue, and I'll see them in about 5 years.
Exactly. I'm on that plan.
Are you? Okay. Ladies, are you engaged? Or are you newly married? If so, if you're in that category, or if you know somebody in that category, or if you'd like to know somebody in that category, you absolutely need to hear our next segment before you screw up your marriage. And wait until you hear the name of the book our guest has written. It's spectacular. You're going to love it. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Welcome back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, Added.com, and you visit our website. So much to look at there. There's the show fun page where you can now see a montage photo of the Sandy Charles Barbie.
I'm posting it right now, too.
Yes, there's a picture. There's a picture of the Barbie next to a picture of you in your evening wear, and then another picture of you in another gown with your Ms. California sash on.
Yes.
So it's rather striking, and you must be so proud.
We're
proud of you.
Thank you.
Was there a swimsuit portion of the competition?
There was, yes.
Yeah. Is that in every female queen competition? There has to be a swimsuit portion.
There was. The one that I'm associated with now in the Miss World organization, they just took it out.
Oh, yeah.
Bummer.
Because only pageant girls watch pageants anymore. Is that why?
No.
No? Okay, fine. I'm trying to understand. And it would be helpful if guys and gals understood each other a little better. Mm-hmm. Marriages would last longer. And what we're going to endeavor to do now is to add some spark and some interest and some passion and some romance into your marriage, or if you have one coming, how to, ladies, especially for you, how to keep your guy. And joining us now live to talk about this is the author of a book with just perhaps one of the best book titles to come along in a while. It's called First, Kill All the Marriage Counselors. She's an intimacy expert, Laura Doyle. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Now, Laura, I'm going to make a sweeping generalization here. Women are complicated and men are pretty easy to figure out. And as such, if you want your marriage to last, ladies, you figure out the three or four things men need in order to be happy and focused on you. Now, that's not to say men get a pass here. They have some hard relationship work to do as well. But am I right?
I take it a step further and say men mostly get a pass because women are the keepers of the relationship. Men just want their wives to be happy. In fact, I'll ask you, well, are you married?
As a matter of fact, tomorrow is my 33rd wedding anniversary.
Wow, congratulations.
Happy anniversary,
happy
buddy.
Anniversary.
Thank you very much.
So, and how important is it to you that your wife is happy?
Well, yeah. See, what's the old saying? You know what the saying is, don't you?
Happy wife, happy life?
Exactly.
Yes. So I've asked, several thousand men that question, and they all say the same thing. They say it's really important, or it's everything, or it's imperative. So men have this wonderful internal drive to make their wives ridiculously happy. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of wives will say, well, not my husband. My husband must be the exception to this rule. And it's not so much that. It's that we are a little bit sometimes committed to our misery, or at least I was. When I first got married, I just decided that I could do, a few things, well, maybe just about everything, actually, better than my husband. Oh. So I had to do them, right? I mean, he didn't even know how to make the bed right or load the dishwasher right. And I had to make sure the cars were getting maintained, the bills were getting paid, and et cetera, et cetera. And there just wasn't anything he could do to make me happy. I just thought I knew best.
Right. And the other thing with guys, too, is I think we're wired to believe, oh, great, there's somebody who's taking care of that. Okay, that's one thing I could check off my list. I don't have to do that anymore.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, the wifey is doing all the work. And 5 years later, she says, why am I doing everything?
Exactly. And I never realized that I was exhausting myself and just really was the classic example of a martyr, right? Because I kind of, I thought, I'll let everyone know how much I'm doing and I can get some attention that way. And the whole thing was just kind of a disastrous mess because it wasn't long into our marriage before he was just more interested in watching TV than spending time with me. He was more interested in TV than making love with me because I was kind of an unpleasant toothache of a person.
Yeah, well, then you start thinking, oh, well, what's the matter with me and all those other things. But sure, I don't know about this giving guys a pass completely because here's the thing, if I want my wife to be happy all the time, I think it's real easy for a guy to kind of slip into a, well, let's hope this doesn't make her unhappy mode, as opposed to making her happy all the time. Let's just kind of cruise, and as long as everything's copacetic, then we're cool.
Actually, my experience, 16 years as a relationship coach, using these intimacy skills to really make my own broken marriage amazing and vibrant again, and then watching over 150,000 women do the same thing. I mean, I'll give you a quick story. One woman is 20 years married. Their marriage was just really kind of dead. It just was more like roommates, awkward roommates.
Yeah.
And she started using the skills. And right after that, she called him from the gym. She said, I'm going to just wait for the rain to die down a little bit because it's after my Zumba class. And man, is it pouring. He showed up at the gym with an umbrella, parked, came to the door, made sure she didn't get any water on her. She said, it was like I was made of sugar.
Yeah.
Just made sure that she got. Wow. And then I remember this other woman, they were in the process with a divorce already. She got the skills. They went to the courthouse together holding hands to cancel the divorce. And he said to her, you have my heart and my love.
Yeah.
Wow. And so, I mean, these guys, obviously, they feel a little bit of a drive beyond just, I guess I'll move my feet out of the way while she's vacuuming.
You know what my first impulse was when you told me about the guy with the umbrella?
Yeah.
I want to hurt that guy.
No.
Now, so you're talking about
he's so sweet.
You're talking about, yeah, exactly. I know. You keep talking about ladies acquiring the skills.
Oh, yeah.
What particular set of skills are you talking about?
Well, it turns out there are 6 intimacy skills that I stumbled on. T. Harv Eckert says every master was once a disaster, and that was my case. So I decided, marriage counseling must be the answer because that's what we're all told, right? If your relationship is struggling, you got to go to marriage counseling. But it turns out that was a big mistake. What I learned that actually helped transform my marriage and was much more fun and worked faster were these 6 skills that emerged when I took the advice of women who had been married for what seemed like a really long time, because I'd been married 5, 6, 7 years, and they had been married for 15 years, Phil, if you can imagine that kind of an eternity.
Yeah.
Now I've been married for 25, so.
Yeah.
And I took all their ideas and just kind of made an experiment in my marriage, and whatever worked, I kept. And what didn't work, I threw out. And so it was this long period of
trial and error, yeah.
Just a tremendous amount of emotional distress.
You married a guinea pig. I like that.
I married a guinea pig, and poor guy, right? And
yeah.
Now he would say it was all good because our marriage, I'll give you an example. We were at a breakfast cafe not long ago, and I was just sitting there kind of people watching, and he goes, oh, don't move. Gets out his phone, starts taking pictures of me.
Uh-huh.
And then he hands me the phone and says, look how beautiful you are. And then I start looking through the phone, and it's all pictures of me. There's me making dinner, me working on my laptop. It's the Laura channel.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, it's really, it feels unspeakable.
Wait a minute. Who's this lady in yoga pants?
Yeah, always in the yoga class. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's beautiful. Yeah, right?
You know what? So you acquire these skills, and obviously there's more information about that in the book. But it's really just paying attention to each other's needs and understanding what they are, isn't it?
No.
No, it's not. that's what I've learned in 33 years. Absolutely nothing.
When you get a pass, Phil, I'm giving your wife all the credit for those 33 great years.
Okay.
You're just there.
Yeah.
She's doing all the work. We're laughing about it, but there's something to be said, because what I've been able to see that's actually completely inspiring is that women all over the world, in Japan and Malaysia and South Africa and Netherlands and Spain and Germany, everywhere you go, it's really the same. Women, we have this tremendous power in to set the culture of our relationships. If we want it to be tense and distant, we can do that. If we want it to be playful and passionate, we have that power too. And so I feel like it's like Spider-Man a little bit, right? Like we have great power.
Yeah.
And with great power
comes great responsibility.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I mean, what's the one thing the wife does when she's making mistakes, that is, before she figures out the skills? What's the one thing a wife does that's the biggest turnoff for a man? Is there one thing you could put your finger on?
Yeah. For me, I was the queen of giving helpful suggestions. Like I was going to help him dress better, and I was going to help him eat healthier, and I was going to help him be more ambitious at work. And helpful in wife language translates into critical in husband language. And I didn't realize that, you know, it was innocent. But I also was modeling what I'd seen my parents do, right? Yeah. And my parents are divorced. So I was following a failed recipe. And I it's not like you have relationships 101 in school. I mean, I don't know where you were supposed to learn the skills to have a great relationship. We just sort of expect people to know them. Mm-hmm. But we don't expect people to just know how to drive a car, right? We give them, you know, we have driver's ed.
Is this the point of the conversation where you take us into the bedroom?
Oh, well, I mean, that's really important too. But, you know, so here's my trick question. I always say, what's the number one thing a man wants from his wife?
A sandwich.
Yeah, right.
Well, actually, check it out. It's respect. Oh. Mm-hmm. He wants sex too. Of course he wants sex.
Yeah.
But he wants respect even more. And this, well, here's what's mind-boggling is we as women, we think we are being respectful and we're so not sometimes. So it's like we don't even have the same definitions of respect. We think of respect as maybe something you give to your boss or to your, you know, someone in authority, right? Yeah. A parents. And it's actually just not necessarily agreeing with what he says, but just honoring it. You just don't disagree with it. You just don't contradict his thinking or criticize what he's doing. And it's just amazing how just adding that ingredient into the relationship really kind of unlocks that natural desire for him to want to make you happy. When you bring the respect, he naturally responds by cherishing you, adoring you, and desiring you more.
And that makes you that makes you appealing as a man, even when you get older and smelly and out of shape and just gross.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. Well, I've been married 25 years, and my husband's acting like I'm still a supermodel or something. He's taking my picture across the table. So, yeah, it seems to be working. I mean, and I see this, you know, with all my clients as well, that that playfulness and that passion, it does come partly from knowing that as a woman, you're not just a smaller, less hairy man. Yeah. You know, you're an entirely different gender. We bring certain gifts to the relationship. And if you don't even know what those are, How are you supposed to use those to benefit you both? Otherwise, you work too hard.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And so does the book. It's called First Kill All the Marriage Counselors. It's written by Laura Doyle. A pleasure to speak with you, ma'am.
Thanks, Phil. It's my pleasure, too.
All righty. There she goes. All right. So that's useful information, isn't it? By the way, the book's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And that'll do it for this hour of the program. We have so much more coming up in the second hour, including, remember Elon Musk? You know him? He's the guy that he's got the Tesla car and the spaceships and all that kind of stuff. But he wants to stick you in a tube and shoot you from L.A. to San Francisco in a half hour. He's actually building it now, and I want to ride it. And our tech guy's coming up in the next hour, including a whole bunch of other stories that I can't wait to hear from Sandy and from Chris right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, if you use iCloud, there's a serious warning you need to hear. Our tech guy joins us live with that and more. Starting Monday, Facebook will make it real easy for businesses to stalk you. And which of the 30 GOP presidential candidates will make the cut at the debates? The friends are here. We have Ms. California, USA, Sandy Charles. Hello.
Hello.
And Chris Martin is here. And I'm Phil Hewlett. Thank you for tuning in. Get things rolling. What are you doing over there? You using that Periscope deal?
Periscope, yes.
Is it working?
It is working,
yes. Are you new to that?
I am new. Pretty new, yeah.
Yeah. You know, just bear in mind, Periscope is awash with complete pervs.
As I, yeah,
much like 90% of the apps out there.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe you want to turn off your chat button when you do your Periscope because
he didn't mean it, you guys.
No, it's well because it's open to the public. I mean, there's millions of people using Periscope already, and they just they see something live. Oh, pretty girl, boom, I'm there, and then here come the comments. And
I was at a shoot, and they turned it on me, and the guys were like, is this nude? Is this take off this? And I was like, oh, close it.
Yeah.
But my boyfriend loves it because he watches, he was watching a rap battle or like a comedy battle a couple of days ago. And he's not there. He's just sitting in bed and watching it. And it's really cool.
And you're watching it live.
Yeah.
Too.
Eventually,
right now.
The copyright issues are going to be fleshed out with all of this. But I watched a couple of concerts. People in the front couple of rows at a concert holding up their phone with a Periscope. And I'm watching a concert that I didn't pay $250 for you know, and although it is on my telephone, it's a small thing, but hey, you know, I could screen share with my flat screen TV and watch the concert that way if I wanted to. Mm-hmm.
So technically, are all the bugs worked out and this system works flawlessly, or is Periscope still experiencing some kinks?
I don't know. I'm having trouble with mine. Mine's buggy.
Did you find during playoffs you could kind of use it in the Ducks?
Well,
like during the game,
I'm being very careful about when and where I use it. I did not use it this season, but I'm going to consider using it next season. But I have to make sure that it's in a way that it's not, again, breaching any copyrighted material. I mean, the game itself, they tell you if you're going to use social media and you work there, don't use social media during the game. Don't take pictures of the players. Don't post pictures of the players. That's property of the team and the league.
Yeah, but you were saying that you did try it out one time at an LA Kiss game. And can you reenact what happened after a touchdown was scored?
Oh, yeah.
Real quick for all of Sandy's Periscope fans?
It'll break the microphone if I did it. But at the arena football games, and when the Los Angeles Kiss score a touchdown, I go into complete freak-out mode on the microphone as the public address announcer. And I'm not going to do that here because I may not be able to talk from this point
forward. But he was reenacting how he would you know, basically scream touchdown, and then he was reenacting.
It wasn't a reenactment. It was live.
But with the phone, you were showing me. With the phone, he's going, touchdown!
Yeah. Only higher pitched. And I had a shot of the guy going into the end zone as well, which makes me nervous because now I'm potentially breaching, you know, who owns that entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley.
You're only the two most litigious rock stars on the planet.
Right. Yeah. And so I don't even know if it worked. I can't tell.
And it's supposed to go away. Isn't that the beauty of Periscope?
Yeah, it does go
away. Okay.
Yeah. And maybe if you set it up, it might save it on your memory on your phone.
Mm.
But you don't have any room on that because you have an iPhone. Yeah. All right. Are you ready to join us here on the show? Are you done Periscoping for a while?
Yes.
You want me to hold that?
No, we're done.
Okay.
Aw.
Yeah, because I need you to do a story or two here. I was just kind of vamping until you're ready.
We're ready.
Okay. All right. So if I were, these days, it seems to me like when you go to a hotel, they used to charge you for internet.
Mm-hmm.
You had to plug in to the modem in the room, basically. And then they went with the Wi-Fi thing. And it seems, am I right, Chris, that's free now? Wi-Fi is free at hotels?
Everywhere that I've been, it's been free, yeah.
But they probably build whatever profit, if they want to make profit off of that, off the
into
cost
the room,
of the room
fees.
Yeah, exactly. Or they charge you an extra 50 cents for a martini, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And they make their money. But there are a whole class of people out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to necessarily characterize them as a class, but a whole bunch of people out there who are just saying, forget it. I'm not watching broadcast TV. I'm not watching cable TV anymore. Mm-hmm. What are they called?
Cord cutters.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So the hoteliers are starting to pay attention to that group of people, aren't they?
Yes. So far, Marriott. Very smart of them. They are welcoming the cord cutters, and they will now offer Netflix.
Oh.
So if you have an account, and I mean, how many times, every time I stay in a hotel, I'm so frustrated with the five channels
mm-hmm.
that they offer or a million-dollar movie.
Yeah.
So now it's Netflix, and I can just sign in and be on my way. And if you don't have Netflix, they will give you an option to sign up. I think it's $7.99 like Netflix is. They're they're not charging any extra. Marriott's not. It's just an extra offer. It's a perk to make you more comfortable.
Yeah. Of course.
And plus, if you haven't used your 30-day free trial yet, that would be a good time to do it.
Sure.
And if you haven't, go give it a run, because it's at least in 30 days you can consume most of what's on Netflix, especially if you don't have a job and you just sit at home all day and shut the blinds and sit in the dark and drink wine.
That's true, because I've looked at the on-demand list before and I've scrolled through it 100 times and I still couldn't figure out if there was anything I wanted to watch. And you want to watch this? Okay, let's watch that.
Yeah.
And then, okay,
yeah.
Fine. We're happy that we watched it, but for us it's impossible.
You feel like you're settling.
I could care less most of the time. I don't know. It's just I'm a weird puppy when it comes to movies. So, like, I don't know. I feel anxious. And the last time I went to a theater, in the last 5 or 6 times I went to a theater, and I was sitting there waiting for the movie to start, I felt anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does that happen to you?
It happens to me. I don't go.
For what? For anxiety about what?
About just
sitting still for 15 minutes until the movie starts?
Just the movie is coming, and I don't know. It's a weird thing. And I don't have the control I have. I've been watching movies at home for so long through Netflix and other sources.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in a theater now, it's just too bizarre
for
me.
It feels weird.
Mm-hmm. And I could sort of relate to that.
I don't know. Something's happened. I should,
ever since the shooting at the movie
help.
Theater, I can't.
Oh,
I know
is that
weird.
What you think about?
I do.
That's
and
not
that's
the anxiety.
Really
I feel.
Bad. That kind of stuff really affects me. That's why I try, and my boyfriend, everyone knows, any movies that are really negative and like really can ingrain in you, I try not to watch ever. So when then it's in the news and this man just, I just can't do it. I carry it with me for some reason.
Yeah, and you're such a positive person anyway.
Oh, thank you.
But you are.
I try.
I wasn't being.
I'm not
wasn't
perfect.
Being silly. I wasn't being facetious.
I try. I have my moments, definitely.
All right. Now here's something negative in the news. Perhaps you've seen the story about the pool party and the cop and the gal in the bikini and the charges of racism and all that kind of stuff. It's been all over the news. But we're not going to recap all of that and talk about that story necessarily. But something peripheral to that has happened, and it raises an issue worth discussing, I think. Tell us what happened.
Right. A Florida high school principal has been removed from his job for supporting the police officer that was involved in this whole pool party situation, the one that detained the teenager.
Yeah.
So he went on social media and he expressed his opinion that he supports them, supports the police officer. And now the Miami-Dade school district has said that that's not how they do things, and they've taken him out of his role.
Oh, so it's not how they do things, so it's not necessarily his opinion that they removed him for, but it's the fact that he posted opinion on social media. That's what they had a problem with.
Yeah, but they're saying they support the girl and her family that was hurt.
Oh, so maybe
and
that.
And so the fact that his opinion is different. And they're standing by that the police officer was wrong.
That's wrongful. What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Termination.
Wrongful termination.
Yeah.
Dismissal, whatever you want to call it. Because can they terminate a principal for having a differing opinion on a news item? Or can they terminate him for using social media to express an opinion on a national story? Now, if the latter is true, but if... Indeed, what you're saying is true, that the differing opinion on the deal is why they released him. You know, maybe he made that public statement of social media and the school district got a ton of phone calls from people who believed otherwise and said you need to remove him. Now, just my thoughts on not on that issue that, you know, he got fired over, but on the idea that somebody can have an opinion and be removed from their job has just rubbed me the wrong way for as long as I could remember. A lot of people have said some repugnant things publicly, and they've lost their jobs. And still, that's between the employee and the employer.
Exactly.
And if enough pressure comes from the consumer to where the employer is losing money because of what the employee said, okay, fine, I can kind of see that. But it seems to me like we've gotten to a place where people are afraid to express their opinions because they fear that if a large enough percentage of people, of active people, because very often it's a small percentage of people who are the loudest voices, takes a differing opinion or takes umbrage to something that you said, you could very well not only lose your job, but have your life destroyed.
Right.
Because some people are in that business too. to destroy people who have differing opinions.
I feel like more, and that's so sad and terrible to say, are on that. They want to tear down. They want to be negative. They are on that, well, let's find what's wrong with it and make it, get him away, instead of finding the truth in the situation. Or,
well, you know what? I like dialogue. If somebody has a different opinion, and it's I've had so many of these conversations on the radio about race relations, where, you know, and I'm clearly a white guy. Mm-hmm. I've always been a white guy.
Had me fooled.
And I've had discussions with men of color who are leaders in the civil rights movement, Jesse Jackson, for one. And we try to discuss things openly. And when you have the guys on, they always agree with me. What happens in practice is very often different. But my way of thinking is, if I meet a racist, I want to know his opinion. Mm. I don't want to meet a racist and not know he's racist.
Right.
I'd rather he give me his opinion, because that way I can dialogue with him, and at least I know where he's coming from, and perhaps I can convince him that his way of thinking is wrong, and right. If he's a lost cause, at least I know, okay, there's the racist guy.
Right.
As opposed to the guy who comes up and pretends to be my best friend and has figured out a way to still be racist while I think he's treating me nice while he's selling me down the river.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so two things play in there. There's that. And there's also the freedom of speech. When people are afraid to express their opinions because they're worried that somebody might be offended and ask for them to be removed from
their job,
then it's a form of censorship.
Right.
It's a loss of your freedom of speech and your First Amendment right, indirectly. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, it seems, I think in this case, it's a conduct policy thing that's probably somewhere in his contract that he has with the school. He is supporting, in this situation, mm-hmm. a cop taking a high school student to the ground. And he works at a high school. Seems like they have a justification on their side as well.
Well, right.
If you watch the video, though, you can't. If I'm a white girl. If I
have you always been a white girl? Okay, good.
If I had a cop right now that said, "Sandy, sit," and I did not sit, and then I tried to get away and fight him when he tried to put me down, 100%, he's going to do the same thing. So it wasn't. So, and that's the thing, nobody's bothering to even, and that's what this, the
principal
was trying to do. He was just trying to say, look at all of it. That's it. Just look at all of it. I would have done the same thing. If three people came to attack me, of course, and I'm a cop and my life, I feel threatened, I'm going to pull my gun.
Yeah. But see, now you said that. What if five or six people who are really energized on this topic call up the Miss California organization and mm-hmm. say, we demand that you take her crown?
Well, her crown's already gone.
Yeah. Oh,
so, like, good luck with that, suckers.
Wait, but if I said I stood with one or the other and voiced my opinion and then I got in trouble, I would be very, very, very upset.
Yeah.
Because all I'm asking for is people to either look at the video and find the truth, like, just really.
Well, have a conversation about it.
Yeah, have an open look at the video. Don't just automatically think, oh, it's racist and he was trying to hurt the girl, or instantly say he was doing his job.
The old rush to judgment thing. Yeah,
that's the thing that I have an issue with.
What's the matter with you?
No, so either way.
Stating your opinion like that.
But it is a scary thing.
Supposed
you're
to be
terrified.
Representing happiness and togetherness and all that sort of thing. And here you are speaking ugly all of a sudden.
It's really scary that you can't even on social media, mm-hmm. You have to always watch what
I
you
know,
say.
I know. All right. We've gone long in this segment. We're going to catch up a little bit next. And Facebook has given business owners a way to chase you down, literally. And we'll explain what that is next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and Sandy Charles is here today, and Chris Martin is here. And Chris, Bluetooth, and our executive producer Mike Stark has been telling me about this. He said, have you been getting these notes about the free Bluetooth beacon? And I said, no, I don't know even know what that is. But you do know what it is, and it's coming soon.
Yeah, Facebook basically wants to know any business or store you set foot into, and here's how they're going to do it. They're sending out free Bluetooth beacon devices to any U.S. business that is asking for the device. Now, they'll solicit your request. They'll say, hey, we are offering these devices for free. Would you like one? If you say yes, they'll send you the Bluetooth device, and starting Monday, the beacons will detect any Facebook user on a smartphone within a set distance of your business. Now, the first thing you might ask is, how is that beneficial to me, right?
How is that beneficial to me?
Well, businesses can then send content and information about their store directly to the person's newsfeed.
So if you're nearby, you say delicious, juicy hamburger searing on the stove right now, waiting for you, half price for the next 10 minutes.
Within 500 yards of where you're at, too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So it's going to give you the fact that we're right around the corner.
Yeah,
so there's that. You know, now Facebook will also be able to track users' commercial habits and collect even more data than the massive amounts they've already collected on our commercial patterns.
So this is it's a little device. It's an antenna that you stick on the next to the cash register at your store?
Basically, yeah. I don't know where you put it. I don't know where Mike's going to put his, but you know, you set it somewhere where it within the distance that it's set to, it will pick up those signals. Now, one other thing, Facebook does reassure that the businesses can't access your phone's data or collect information from your phones, hopefully. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, with 1.3 billion users worldwide, it would be tough for a business to say, no, thanks, I don't want your beacon.
And with the just huge number of business owners, and I say that in quotations, because people present themselves often on Facebook as businesses, whereas they're just, you know, individual consultants, or they're just sitting at home selling stuff on eBay. Could this beacon introduce a creep factor?
Yeah, everything has the potential for that in today's environment, for sure. And as Facebook says that they're going to cater to the small businesses.
Yeah.
Before the larger businesses, they're going to cater to the small businesses. Mm-hmm. I don't know how exactly they evaluate that, but it could potentially give the creepers priority.
How about drug dealers? Will they be able to use this?
Sure, why not?
Yeah,
they'll find a way. You know, you just got to use code words and emojis, but not the ones that threaten people.
How about pimps? Will they be able to use it?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you just have to find a way
so he can keep track of his. All right, you say it.
You know what I think of more? I think more about the fact that, what if all the businesses around you have that and you walk into a strip mall? Your Facebook news feed is literally going to be just constant feeds of all the businesses.
Oh.
Hey, you want to go bowling? Hey, you want to have a hot dog? Hey, you want to buy some clothes? Hey, you want
this
some shoes?
This might be a big mistake then on Facebook's
part. It's just going to crash somebody's feed.
Yeah, and it may turn people away from Facebook.
Yeah.
If it just turns into
one. There's got to be settings. You can shut it off, set your priorities, set your preferences.
Like the game things. How do you turn off? You have to be able to turn off that kind of notification.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do.
Okay.
But although
somehow
this guy keeps coming through, because all he does in life is play five or six different games every day of his life. And I get invitations from him all the time. And I turn off, but I could turn off the invitations from that particular game. So he can only invite me once. And I don't want to turn him off completely, because there are other conversations that he says that are of some value. And
you just don't want to play Candy Crush. Or
oh my gosh,
Dragon
Please
Spiral.
No,
stop.
Dragon Spiral. Oh, okay. And by the way, here's a game that I'm just warning you now that you never ever want to download and start playing. It's called the 2048 Puzzle. Never download and play that game.
Sounds like you're using reverse psychology.
I'm telling you, I downloaded it yesterday, and I practically checked out from life.
Oh, no.
and I'm fighting to not use it today. And I think if I'm smart, I will just uninstall it. But I want to
You're
play
addicted?
It so much more. It's just a stupid number
What's
game.
What's the point? It's okay.
It's just a stupid number game.
Adding?
Is all it is. You're moving numbers around with your finger. Kind of like one of those things where you...
Sudoku?
No, not like one of those puzzles where you try to make the numbers in order and you move them around and there's only one empty space. But in this case, I don't know. Just do me a favor. Do yourself a favor.
Get it.
Don't get that game.
Do not get 2048. Again, that's 2048.
Yeah. I have nothing invested in that. I have nothing to do with it. My daughter Olivia told me what it was, and oh man. And then she brought a box of donuts last night. What's the matter with her?
Olivia.
She's trying to
bring donuts.
She's trying to kill me. Hey, take this, bullet train bureaucrat. Elon Musk's Hyperloop is being built in California. Our tech guy joins us live with details on that and how maybe you get to test ride it. That's all coming up next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's time to talk tech here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Joining us live is the head of mobile at Apogee, our tech dude, Jeremy Antecuni. Hey, Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy.
That's me. How
are you? There you are. I thought you were stuck in a Hyperloop or something.
I was earlier, but now I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay, good. We're going to talk about that in a moment, but I think the important thing to get out here is there's a huge warning for people if they use iCloud. Isn't that right?
Yeah, iPhone users are probably familiar with those little pop-ups that come up from time to time on their iPhones or their iPads asking for their iTunes or their iCloud passwords. Well, there's a new bug that was discovered in iOS Mail. That's the default mail application on the iPhone. And it allows a specially crafted email to run code, which essentially pops up a box that looks identical to those iCloud pop-ups that you're used to seeing and probably used to just typing your password in. The good news is it doesn't give remote access to your phone or install any malware, but rather it collects your username and password so that somebody could exploit it later on.
Oh, so they could get into your iCloud account, obviously.
They potentially could, especially if you don't have two-factor authentication turned on, which I would recommend any service that you guys have that supports two-factor authentication, which is the username and password plus something else. And typically they'll send you a text message with a code that you can then validate.
Because do you save any of your personal sensitive things on iCloud?
Yeah, I mean, there's iMessages and your notes, and some people have their email running through iCloud. So there definitely is sensitive stuff in there.
Yeah.
This one was reported to Apple back in January, but there haven't been any responses or updates since then. So the developer that found this posted the code publicly to light a fire under Apple. So until they post a fix, do be careful of password prompts in the Mail app.
Wow, how about that? All right, Jeremy, are you still riding Uber when you travel back and forth between your palatial suburban estate and Silicon Valley?
Part of that statement was correct. I do use Uber quite a bit while I'm up there. I spend a couple $100 a month on Uber, and for the most part, it's been a pretty good experience. I've only had a couple terrifying rides.
Yeah, only a couple. That's good. That's a good ratio. But from what I understand, and maybe I understand incorrectly, you can correct me if I need it. Is there a Uber game out there?
There is, and I thought this one was kind of funny and strange, but if you're interested in learning what it's like to be an Uber driver, there's now a way for you to find out without having to sign up and go through their hoops. It's called Uber Drive. It's an iOS app that was just released, and according to Uber, it, quote, showcases a day in the life of an Uber driver partner, if you're so inclined to find out what that day in the life is. And according to their site, players interact with maps by tapping on intersections and identifying landmarks around the city. And you can earn high scores by accepting trip requests in dispatch zones so that you can learn how to take more efficient routes to earn higher scores around the city.
What is the point of all of that?
I'm not really sure, other than maybe they had some spare time on their hands and didn't know what to do with their iOS developers.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a benefit to it, and that is that for existing drivers who I've found are, unlike taxi drivers, really don't seem to know the areas that they're servicing, it will actually help train them and learn about the areas that they're driving in and hopefully become better drivers as a result.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I just got a call with the local area code, and the prefix started with a 1. And it's been my experience, and maybe you know a thing or two about this, Jeremy. I know I'm catching you off guard on this, but generally speaking, when I've picked up those calls, which is not often because my phone number is out there on the internet and I get calls all day long and I answer the ones I recognize. But just for fun, when I pick them up, it's usually a guy in Ethiopia.
Yeah, so the one in front of the number is the country codes, the United States country codes.
Well,
so,
no, it's a 310 area, and then the next number is a 1. You know, and look, they're calling again. So it's clearly a guy who says he's at the IRS.
Put him on the air.
Yeah, I should.
That's my vote.
Do it.
Yeah. Well, okay. If he calls again, I'm putting him on.
Yeah, but oftentimes when you see numbers that look malformed or there's something off about them, not the typical formatting that you're used to seeing, that typically is indicating that somebody is calling from, you know, an area outside of, you know, the United States, or they're using some sort of spoofing tools or software to actually make that call. And so that's you're able to actually play around with the caller ID.
Good. All right. The next time somebody calls to say that the IRS wants to arrest me, and I need to call this number, I think I'm going to call that number on the program, and we'll put that.
Yeah, do that. Maybe give them your credit card number.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. All right. Now, Jeremy, is the Hyperloop coming for real?
The Hyperloop is actually making progress. This was kind of cool. As you'll probably
remind
recall,
us again what it is.
The Hyperloop concept was something that was put forth by Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk in a 57-page white paper back in 2013. And he envisioned a system that would reduce travel time from San Francisco to Los Angeles and so forth to about 30 minutes. And so what the concept is using a tunnel system. So it's like a semi-vacuum where they pull some of the air out of it to reduce the drag and reduce the power requirements, and then use a linear induction motor, which is a magnetic system that propels this little vehicle inside this tube at just incredible speeds.
Yeah, like the cash tube at the Costco. Thump.
Yes, exactly like this. So climb inside the cash tube and go really fast between here and and San Francisco.
Yeah.
So a company called the Hyperloop Transportation Technologies, and they're unaffiliated with Musk, but he did release this information into the public domain, open-sourced it, and said, please build upon this. They've entered into an agreement with the developers of Quay Valley, California, and this is about halfway between L.A. and San Francisco. They're going to build a 5-mile Hyperloop test track along the side of Interstate 5, and they will be testing out the viability of the concept and actually doing safety testing and so forth.
And what city again? Where?
It's called Quay Valley, California. I hadn't heard of it before I saw this article, and I had to look it up. But it's a planned community on the side of the 5 freeway. It's if you drew a line like due east from Paso Robles area, out middle of nowhere on the side of the 5 freeway. They're going to be testing out this concept, and they say that if things go well and they are able to ensure the safety of this system, that you may be able to stop off the 5 freeway and take it for a ride sometime in 2018 before they actually raise the billions of dollars that will be necessary to build the entire thing from L.A. to San Francisco.
Well, it'll be less than the hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, it'll take for Sacramento bureaucrats to figure out how to build a bullet train from Los Angeles to San Francisco.
Yeah. The numbers I saw, there was something like $70 billion, but of course that's probably going to be shooting way low. And the folks that are behind the Hyperloop technology stuff think that they can do it somewhere in the $16 billion range.
Yeah. So, and they'll build it in a couple. They'll build the whole thing in a couple of months, as opposed to a couple of decades, right?
Exactly. You won't have 10 guys standing around watching one guy dig a hole.
Oh, it sounds like Caltrans.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's why you take Uber. Okay, because they have a pothole just for your car.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jeremy, always great to talk with you again. We will catch up with you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to them.
There he goes. He's our tech guy. And anything else?
That's Hyperloop sounds cool.
You're going to ride it?
No, not until after all the kinks have been worked out of it. When that thing operates for at least a year, problem-free, sure, I'll give it a run. First time a squirrel crawls in there and turns the whole thing into a mess.
Yeah. What would you pay to get from L.A. to San Francisco in half an hour?
What would I pay?
Yeah,
I don't have any need to be there that quickly. I'd pay the gas it takes to take the 6 mile
the six hour drive
up the coast and stare at the ocean the whole way.
Up the coast, that's a 9 hour drive.
Fine, fair enough.
Yeah,
enjoy the ride. What are we in a hurry to get somewhere so fast for?
Yeah,
smell the roses.
Yeah, but sometimes you need to be somewhere. Okay, let's say let's say Sandy, you're a TV reporter, and you're doing this TV reporter thing, and you have a gig in the morning at 8 o'clock in Anaheim, California.
Okay.
And then you have a gig at 5 in the evening, or there's a red carpet thing, and you have to be in San Francisco at 5 o'clock. So you finish your deal at 10 o'clock in Anaheim. You go home, you take a nap, you brush your teeth, and you get on your nice clothes, and you get in the Hyperloop, and half an hour later, you're an hour and a half early in San Francisco. How much would you pay for that?
I don't know. Because what's the difference with the airplane, really?
No, the difference is this opens up more opportunity
time
for you.
But I can work on the plane.
Yes, but you can't be in San Francisco when you're on the plane. That's the point. You're making money when you're in San Francisco. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah.
It opens up more opportunity.
Right.
So you spend money to make money in almost every case. And so would you pay $100 to go to San Francisco in a half an hour? Of course
that's
you
about
would.
A flight.
Yeah, I'd drop a bill on it.
Yeah. Would you?
Once all the kinks have been worked out.
Once they get all the squirrels out of there.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Fine. I can't wait for this thing. I really can't. All right. We've been threatening to talk about the long list of GOP presidential candidates. And apparently, there's not room for as many GOP presidential candidates as there are, and somebody's going to start making cuts. It's not Chris, but he knows about the cuts, and he's going to tell you about it coming up next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, here we go. We're getting into that time where all the politicians want you to believe that they should be the next commander-in-chief. And we have four or five people on the Democratic side. Hillary Clinton, of course, the most recognizable name. But then we have 30 guys. Well, there's one gal, from what I know, Carly Fiorina is one of them. But
that's correct.
Do we have any more than one woman on the GOP side?
Only one right now, but the door is still open. Candidates pouring in.
We could sure use some more. How many GOP presidential candidates are there so far declared?
There's 30. There's 30 Republicans listed as declared, exploring, or potential.
Yeah, wow.
You want to hear the list?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we've got Skip Andrews, Michael Bricklemeyer, Kenny Bowers, Jeb Bush, Ben Carson, Dale Christensen, Chris Christie, Ted Cruz, John Dumit, Bob Ehrlich, Mark Everson. Here, let me give you some of the other highlights. Carly Fiorina.
Yeah.
You
can't read
Mike
the whole
Huckabee.
List, can you?
No, I don't want to.
All right.
Hang on, though. Mike Huckabee, George Pataki, Rand Paul, Rick Perry, Marco Rubio, Brian Russell, Rick Santorum, Rick Snyder, Donald Trump, Scott Walker. And the list goes on. I mean, that's like half of them.
Yeah.
So now this is what that's going to
lead to. Would you like
to
a President Kenny?
President Kenny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or President Skip?
Skip, Kenny, you call them by their last name anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's just fun to sometimes to think of names, you know, because you want a regal presidential name, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You want something that stands out, like Trump.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that regal?
Yeah.
President Trump.
Yeah, as regal as his hairdo. All right, so what's the deal with cuts here?
So then the with all these candidates, the Republican presidential debates are going to get way more cutthroat, and media-sponsored debates are going to have to create a cut line. Right now they're saying the cut line is going to be 10 candidates per debate.
Really?
So that excludes 20 people. There's actually a lot of candidates that are petitioning Roger Ailes because it's going to be aired on Fox, and they're petitioning him not to cut the field because it feels like it's going to give candidates that don't look good in the primaries or look good early on a chance to show their wares.
Yeah, yeah.
And they could be good candidates, but because Chris Christie has a bigger name, mm-hmm. he's going to oust somebody else that could have
some potential.
I didn't
think you were going to say name there for a second.
Yeah, I'll pick any name. Rick Santorum. You know, all of them. They're all grouped together in
right.
the same
okay.
that category.
Jet, that jet flew right over the stadium there. That's okay.
What? You didn't think I was going to say a name?
I didn't think you were going to say name when you're referencing Chris Christie has a bigger...
Oh, yeah. Because he has a... You thought I was going to say waistline?
Yeah.
Hey, ba-dum-cha.
Yeah, there you go. Bring the Jets back. All right. All right, that'll be interesting to see who gets cut and who doesn't. We'll pay attention to that. By the way, a new survey found that the average woman... Sandy, you're no average woman. Right?
No,
but
no.
Maybe you can relate to this. The average woman only wears an article of clothing 7 times, and 14% of them say it's because they don't want pictures on Facebook or Instagram to show them repeating outfits.
Yes.
Oh, so you
100%.
Every outfit only 7 times?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's actually a lot. For Ooh. I mean, I would maybe do twice, maybe.
I've got pairs of socks that are older than you.
I've worn this shirt I'm wearing right now 700 times.
Yeah.
Literally.
Easily. I've got t-shirts that I'm sure my wife would wish I'd stop wearing or only wear when I'm fixing the car.
That's typical of guys, though.
But I'll wear them out to a restaurant.
Yeah. This is the second time wearing this shirt, and I thought about it before wearing it.
Yeah, because you did the math in your head, and you're like, okay, 4 months.
I'm going to take a selfie in it.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm going to post it. Then I can't wear it again. So, it is true.
Yeah. All right. So we've been following the news a little bit about, and it's scary stuff, because a couple of murderers were sprung from jail.
Yes.
And they're out there on the lam, and a big manhunt for these two guys. But there's a little backstory that you've uncovered. What's going on there? Just kind of weird hinky stuff going on.
Yes. There's a little twist. It's kind of a little love triangle. They are now saying that a prison worker, a female prison worker, may have been involved. She thought she was in love with one of the inmates. He made her feel special, she said. So they devised this plan, and she was supposedly supposed to have the getaway car.
Oh.
I heard about this. Didn't she have sex with him through the bars of the prison cell?
I did not hear
that. Is that right?
Yeah. I've heard this story, and I'm pretty sure that happened, yeah.
And because she is connected with the operation there, she was mm-hmm. able to close off maybe a part of the area and say, hey, look, I need this area secured for the next 5-10 minutes or so.
They knew how to get around in the jail, in the mm-hmm. prison.
Yeah.
And they had, what's that? I'm a girl, so I have no, a drill.
Yeah, a drill.
They had a drill. They had a drill, and that's what they used to get out. So now, who gave them that? And how, you know, all that kind of information.
Now, what do you think, Chris? Was it a drill or a Dremel tool?
It was probably a drill, but still a lot more efficient than what the guy had in Shawshank Redemption when he was
yes.
trying to core through that wall.
Yeah,
right.
That's
what did he use?
Movie.
He used dental floss, right?
No, it was a little rock pick.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little tiny one.
Mm-hmm. And he dumped into the sewer.
The key on this, yeah. the prison worker, the lady, she is married to another prison worker, and they have a son.
Oh.
So this just gets all sort of tricky, and the murderers are still out on the loose.
Yeah, all right.
Without a getaway car, that's impressive that they were able to get that far away from the prison without a getaway car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were hauling.
Yeah. You know what? Who else is impressive is LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And coming into the NBA Finals, the Golden State Warriors were considered the favorites. But then the X factor is this LeBron James guy can just say, screw it, I'm taking over the game, and I'm going to carry the other 12 guys on this team on my shoulders, and we're going to win anyway.
Yeah, and whether it's through his play or just his inspiring words, his actions, all of it, the guys are rallying around him, and a lot of them are stepping up playing basketball that they're not used to, whether it's Dellavedova or whoever. Don't count Golden State out. There is another finals game tonight, Game 4. Cavs are up 2-1. And it's going to be a shootout. Steph Curry's probably going to find a groove. The points are going to be a little bit higher. But will the Cavs be worn out from putting together this Herculean effort night after night to try to overcome a better team?
Yeah. I haven't watched any of it. Have the games been good?
Fantastic. The first two games went to overtime, and the game that was just 2 nights ago on Sunday night was decided by Tuesday night was decided by 4 points, 6 points. At one point, they were nearly knotted
and
up.
And so Cleveland had to come back from a deficit to ultimately win, or was it?
No, Cleveland was pretty much leading the entire game, but Golden State mounted a huge comeback in the final minutes of the game, especially the fourth quarter.
And LeBron said, uh-uh.
Yeah, they just ended up shutting the door. And actually, it was this guy Dellavedova that said, uh-uh, who, by the way, was so exhausted after the match, was sent to the hospital for dehydration.
I saw some video of him flying like Superman for a loose ball and struggling for it and ultimately getting fouled.
Did you see the video of him being compared to Teen Wolf?
No.
Yeah, that one's pretty good, too. Him side by side with
a hairy
Michael
dude?
J. Fox from Teen Wolf.
He's a hairy dude. Huh?
And then, of course, you have the NHL final. And that's tied up 2-2 as of last night, right? The Blackhawks, I think, tied it up.
Yep. So now it's a best-of-three series with two games in Tampa Bay and one in Chicago. So it's going to go seven.
And those two teams are really evenly matched according to the current statistics because amount of shot on goals.
Let me correct
crazy.
Myself. It could go six, but I have a feeling it's going to go seven.
That's what we all hope for.
Yeah, that's good. I like it. Here's how you know a guy's interested in you when he's texting you, ladies. 3/4 of them will text within a few days of getting your number. 90% will text within 2 days of a first date if it went well. And if they use emojis, it probably means they like you.
Nailed it. Nailed all of that.
I
knew all of those. Never saw the list. Mm-hmm. But it also supports my point that you're not supposed to text a girl immediately after getting to know her.
Yeah. 55% of guys won't send a second text if their first one doesn't get a response, by the way. So they'll say, all right, guess that's not happening.
Right, which is cool. That's the way you're supposed to handle
it. But in Sandy's case, she's so busy, she doesn't see her texts until maybe a week later, or maybe never.
I know, my phone is terrible.
It's your phone, it's not you.
It is.
Her phone can't support more than 20 apps.
Oh my gosh, I only have three apps.
There is something wrong with that thing.
H&M, Zara, Forever 21.
And if she puts a fourth one on there, her phone just crashes.
Is that an iPhone 1 you have there?
Yes, pretty much. So I'm sorry if, you're waiting for my response, phone.
Right. Well, it's been a pleasure having you here today. And perhaps we'll have you here again someday soon. SandyCharles.com. That's Sandy, S-A-N-D-E, Charles.com. We love your comments at PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. We're also on Twitter at FAFShow, Facebook.com/PhilHewlettAndFriends. If you listen to us on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review. Leave us a voicemail. Look for the blue tab on the website. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, for Chris Martin, for Sandy Charles, and Aaron Myers. I'm Phil Hewlett. We'll talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.